Let us pray and get started. Father God, we thank you and praise you and give you glory, Lord God. Father, this is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, Father. Father, we thank you that you open our eyes, that we see, our ears to hear, and you give us a heart to understand exactly what you're saying to us. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. 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 So we are continuing along the apostolic. We are teaching about the apostolic, so by the time you finish with this, it's going to take a lot of training, a lot of teaching on this in order for you to get it in your system, in your mind and in your spirit. When you think of the apostolic, I want you to always think of supernatural. I want you to think of heaven being open. Thinking about the apostles seeking what heaven wants here on earth. And think of signs, miracles, wonders, and those things that should be always in the forefront of your mind. I'm in an apostolic government. I'm in God's government. This is the government God set up from the beginning. And since I'm in his government, everything that we need to operate in this government has already been done. So all we have to do is acclimate our faith to receive that which he has provided for us already. In the things of God, in the kingdom of God, since we was born in the natural, it sometimes take a lot longer for us to receive the things of the Spirit of God, because it's not a natural kingdom. It is a spiritual kingdom. We have to be able to understand that. And so even people who God called and laid their hands on, like the Apostle Paul, for instance, it took him almost 14 years for him to actually receive the full revelation of this kingdom that God has provided for him. He got knocked off his horse, off his donkey. He was on that road. And when he got knocked off, then he still had to go out in that Arabian desert and sit in the presence of God, seek God for revelation of what he had provided for him. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. We're going to look at a scripture again, because we're still on our apostolic government, and we have these various scriptures that we need to have on our belt and understand some things. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Looking at verse 27. And you say, why we keep seeing the same scripture? But then the word of God says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. So we hear it, we see it enough, then we can receive faith for it. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, looking at verse 27, it says, now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church. He said, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, government, and diversity of tongues. And so, again, when you think of apostle, when you think of apostolic government, when you think of apostleship, begin every time you think about it, you just think about signs and wonders and miracles. And let that be your food for your thought all the time. Well, I'm operating in a supernatural kingdom. I should be seeing signs and wonders. I should be seeing miracles. And anytime I walk up on a situation where I can either lay hands on someone or pray for someone to receive from God, then that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for that individual and begin to see those signs and those wonders. I told you earlier, again, turn to Galatians. We're in a supernatural kingdom. And so I'm going to try to take my time tonight and let you see some scriptures. We're going to finish up on the apostles tonight, and then we're going to try to get into some of the prophets area. Over here in Galatians chapter 2, looking at verse 15, and this is the Apostle Paul. It says in Galatians 2 and 15, but it says, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathens, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. So if he didn't confer with flesh and blood, who did he confer with? He conferred with the Spirit of God. He went into that Arabian desert out there and he began to seek God. It said, blessed is the man who thirsts and hunger after this righteousness, for they shall be filled. So what he did, he went in and he began to seek God about this, what God had told him and what he was laying on his heart. He said in verse 17, he said, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which was apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and bold with him 15 days. And so then skip down to chapter 2, looking at verse 14. Yes, ma'am. Galatians. Yes, ma'am. We was reading 1 and 15. Oh, I scared. See, I was supposed to know where I was. Yeah. 1 and 15, but I was going to eventually get to 2. So it was 1 and 15 is where I was reading those scriptures. And then Galatians chapter 2, it says, then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus, and I went up by revelation. See, in order for us to operate in the kingdom of God, it has to be revealed to us, these things. We're not going to get it in our head. It has to be revealed to us by the Spirit of God. So he said, I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which was a reputation, lest by any means I should run, I run in vain. So he said, if I try to teach this in my natural understanding, your faith is not going to be, you're not going to have faith to receive it. But once I begin to preach this revelation to you, this whole epistles, all these various epistles, the Apostle Paul had got revelation of the grace of God, what God has provided for us through Jesus Christ, the finished work, and everything that God has provided for us in the kingdom. God revealed it to the Apostle Paul. Remember in Ephesians 2 and 20, where it says that where you're built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So Jesus had to, after he left, someone else had to take over where he left off. So in order for him to happen, he had to reveal the kingdom to the apostles. And then Apostle Paul began to write it to the churches, various churches. He wrote to the churches in Ephesus. He wrote to the church in Galatia. He wrote to the church in Corinthians. And he began to tell them about this kingdom that God has provided for you. And in order for you to operate in it, it has to be revealed to you. And then you can begin to operate in it. And so, again, it didn't happen overnight. It happened over a period of time. Now, like that scripture you should have meditated last week. When we say the sword is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, that seed spring up and grow. He sleeps night and day. He know not how. But you say first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. He says it's a process. And once you begin to operate in the kingdom and learn these things and put it in your mind, put it in your spirit, meditate it, mutter it over in your head. And then eventually you begin to see it and begin to reveal to you what God is doing in this kingdom. We covered last week Romans 14 and 7, where we're talking about the Spirit of God. So I'll give you some notes, and then as the Spirit of God lead me, I'll give you some more scriptures. It says the kingdom of God is joy in the Holy Spirit. Therefore, the church should be a place of exceeding abundant joy. The church should be a place of exceeding abundant joy. So if we're in this kingdom, why should we be in exceeding joy? Because we know that God is doing something for us. We know God is in control. We know there's nothing that can come against us. We know that no weapon that's been formed can prosper against us, even though they be formed. We know, and once we learn, once we operate in this kingdom where God set it up, is know that there's nothing that come against us. We know that in every situation, we should be victorious in everything that come against us, because through the cross and what Jesus did on the cross, everything has been provided for us. So and turn to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, looking at verse 17. It says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's telling us that it's not a physical kingdom. That's the thing we need to begin to see, is that spiritual kingdom is in the realm of the spirit. And as our apostle been ministering to us and telling us, that realm, that spiritual realm, is more realer than this natural realm that we see and speak, sit in every day. And so here he says, for the kingdom of God, Romans 14 and 17, he said, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So all this is part of that new covenant that we are operating in. That's the covenant. That's the government that God said I was going to set up from the beginning. That's the one he talked about in Isaiah, that our prophet Isaiah prophesied about. That turn to Isaiah chapter 9. And we will see it. A 9 and 6. Again, these are should be familiar scriptures. We've covered them, but we go over them again. It says, for unto us, 9 and 6, Isaiah 9 and 6. He said, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be up on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. It says, of the increase of his government and peace. And so as we, when we think of peace, we should always think of in the area of peace where nothing is missing and nothing is broken in my life. And, you know, we always bring it back, make it personal, where so there's of his peace, there should be no end. So of this, whereas nothing is missing and nothing is broken in my life, there should be no end to that. Of the increase of his government, verse 7, and the peace, there should be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. And that last sentence down there where it says, and the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And so that goes back to that part again where it says, when we try to receive the things of God, it is not by our performance. Everything that God is going to provide for us has already been provided through the cross. And so once we receive it, Romans 5 and 17 say, we who receive that abundance of grace and that gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. And so once we receive it, then, like I said, God has already performed this. And so our performance cannot make God do anything. And so because he's already provided. So it's like going to God, asking him to give you something that he's already given to you. So every time you ask him for something and when you pray for something, it has been already given to you on the cross. And, you know, being God, he would probably look at us sort of silly, like, you know, well, I've already provided that for them. I've already given that to you. And so all they have to do is receive it. That's when you come into that again, Ephesians 2:8. There's that principle again. It says you're saved by grace through faith. It is not of yourself, but it is a gift of God. And he said, you know, if you try to do it on your own, he said, then, you know, you'd be boasting about it. You would boast if you could do it, if you could try to save yourself. And so what he's saying is, when I've given it to you, you receive that which I've given to you, and you receive it. Why? It's a grace. It's a free gift. And so all you do, apply your faith to it and receive that which God has provided for us. And again, he has provided all these things for us. Again, let's go back to Romans 14 and 17, and let's see this whole process here. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not a natural kingdom, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5 and 20, 21. Second Corinthians 5 and 21. And here it is again. Foundation. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So everything that every time we see something is in him, by him, through him. It's through him that we can receive those things that God has provided for us. It says, for he hath made him to be sin for us. So God made Jesus to be sin for me. He took that way. He took on every sin that I had done, every sin that man had done, everything that was against Adam. God took that and put it on Jesus, and he took it to the cross with him. He says that for he hath made him to be sin who knew no sin. So as you can tie that to, again, to that Romans 5 and 17. It said by one man offense. And so we can tie that together. Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So we have been made the righteousness of God. We don't have to concern ourselves about it. Once we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he took off my coat of sin. I had a coat of sin on me. He took that coat of sin off of me. He took his coat of righteousness that he had on him, and he put that on me. So now I have been made, and since I have been made, I know I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so since I am the righteousness of God, everything, righteousness means that I have a right to every promise that God has provided for me in the scripture. If I see it in the scripture, I have a right to it. And so all I have to do is apply my faith to it. He provided it for me. And so I apply my faith to it and receive that which God has provided for me. This is the kingdom that we're operating in. This is, again, a supernatural kingdom. I can't receive it in my head. I can't receive it in my natural senses, but through the Spirit I can and revelation, I can receive it. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is one of our reading scriptures that we read on, and so during our prayer time. But I was telling you about the Apostle Paul, and when he came out of that Arabian desert, and even though he was learned in the things of the Jewish religion, but he said, look, he said, I counted all as dung for the knowledge of Christ Jesus. That's over in Philippians. But here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, when he came out and he was coming to the church, he was teaching this Corinthian church. And one of the things that he said, and I, brethren, when I came to you, not with excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. He said, when I came out of this desert, he said, I didn't come to you with excellence of speech. I didn't come to you preaching with how good I sound. He said, I came out, I determined not to know anything among you except save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He was saying that what Jesus did on the cross for me, that's the only thing I know. I know that he provided for me. The Spirit of God has revealed that to me. And so only thing I know is that he was crucified. He took every sin on the cross for me. He took all that. And then he took and he made me righteous in the kingdom. I can operate in the kingdom. And through him that we can receive everything that God has provided for me. He said, if I determine not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He said, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. He said, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And the demonstration. So that's supernatural there. He said, in the demonstration of, so where he went, signs went, miracles went. So he said, in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Go back and hook that up to Romans 4 and 17. He said, joy in the Holy Ghost. And so things was happening. In the kingdom, something should always be happening. And he said, it was for this reason. He said, when you see signs and wonders and this operation of the Holy Ghost, he said, then your faith. He said, your faith. He said, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That God has done this. And so now I can have something to put my faith on. I can find out that God, everything that happens now, God himself is doing this. And so I, you know, when you see these signs and these wonders, when I tell you about what Jesus had provided for me, and you begin to see signs and wonders and miracles and the supernatural happen, your faith now have a foundation in which it can lay on. Even Jesus himself, when you go back and look at how when Jesus was teaching and he was teaching about that that tree that he cursed on the root. And in Mark 4 and 22, 11 and 22. And the first thing he said when they came to him and say, the tree that you cursed is dried up from the root. And the first thing he said, have faith in God. But you cannot have faith in God if you're trying to receive him in your head or in your natural mind. You have to know God in your spirit and in your mind. So once you know him, then you can have faith for the things that God is providing for you. So now I got something to put my faith on. I know I serve a supernatural God. I know I serve a God who has not ever lost a victory. I serve a God who's not a man, Numbers 23:19, who should lie. And everything he said, if he said it, he will make it good. So if he said I will make it good, then I know that. And once I know that, then when I go to him and seek him, then I can know I can receive the answers for what I'm seeking him for. Verse 6, I'll just read on through it and let you see it. He said, how be it, we speak wisdom among them that are mature, are perfect. He said, yet not the wisdom of this world, but he said, not of the princes of this world that come to naught. He said, we don't speak this wisdom. The wisdom we are speaking is not of this world, of the world system. You know, when we get up and we minister the things of God, many of the churches are preaching their own wisdom, their own understanding about what they see. But the Apostle Paul said, I'm not teaching this wisdom of this world. I'm teaching the wisdom that has been revealed to me out in this Arabian desert about what Jesus, through Jesus, and what God revealed to me about what Jesus has provided for me in this kingdom that I'm in. I'm in a supernatural kingdom, and I should always be seeing signs, wonders, and miracles. He said, how be it, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to nothing. When we speak that wisdom, it's just good sounding words. And so all we're doing is getting basically inspiration. We go a walk away and we are being eaten up by the enemy. We can, now, most of us who are in the body of Christ are living in that, in the side where it says Satan come to steal, kill, and destroy on this side. So most of the body of Christ is living on this side. Jesus himself told us that he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So we should be walking in that abundant life, in this kingdom that we are operating in. He goes on to say, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And so God could not reveal that to everybody. He revealed it to the Apostle Paul when he was out there. He was seeking him. And so he said he ordained this for us from the beginning. This was for us. This was for when he created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He created us to have dominion. He created us in his image. And so we know that God is a supernatural God. If he was created in his image, then this thing that he did, we could do also. But then Adam gave that up to Satan. And so he had to find a way to bring it back and give it to us again. So through Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, because he committed no sin. So God said, now I got somebody I can work through and I can bless the people like I originally wanted to bless them. I can give them what I wanted them for. Turn to Genesis. I always say, if you want to know how God thought about it, I probably cover this, but I want to cover it again. How he thought of us from the beginning and what he said about us. But then, like I say, Adam gave it up. He committed high treason and he gave it up. So here in Genesis 1:26, this is from the beginning. Genesis mean beginnings. And so here it is in the beginning. It's in verse 1 in chapter 1 and verse 26. It's a God, and God said, so that's our creator. That's the one who created me. He said, let me make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth up on the earth. So he gave us this dominion from the beginning. He created us in his image, and he gave us. And so he didn't leave nothing out. He said, if it's in the air, you got dominion over it. That's the birds. He said, if it's in the water, you got dominion over it. That's the fish and the fowls in the air. He's saying every creepy thing that creepeth up on the face of the earth. So that anything that creepeth up on the earth, we have dominion over those things. And so God created man. After he said it, he said, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them. God blessed them. He spoke a blessing on us from the beginning. He said, and said unto them, he said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion. And so, you know, we can, you know, you can leave the rest of that all, but he just say, have dominion. And so we are to dominate as believers on the earth. That's how he created us. And so if you're not dominating, find out what I need to do to dominate. Find out get in his presence, get in God's presence, get in his presence until he show you, like he did Apostle Paul. He got Apostle Paul got in his presence until he showed him what he needed to do. He revealed to him what he needed to do to dominate in this realm. This again, that's why when Jesus told his disciples over in Matthew 6, he told them, he said, this is how you pray. And he said, pray our Father, which is in heaven. He's in heaven. He said, holy is thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And but he said, he goes on at other places in the scripture where you say he's given the earth to the children of men. We are the children of men. We are not gods. We are the children of men. And since we are the children of men, the same thing that God says is happening in heaven, we should be able to do that here on the earth. And so in order for us to do that, we have to be trained. We have to be taught how to do it. Let me read on through 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You can go on back over there. It says, verse 8, it says, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. While on there, let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 2 again, chapter 3. Verse 5. We look at that scripture. And like I say, read scripture and we can begin to connect scripture, we begin to see what the Apostle Paul saw. Sometimes we have to, dig. It's not on the surface, but we have to dig and see what the Spirit of God is saying here. And so here in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men. Here we get, I'll go again. Was not made known to us who are the sons of men. But he say, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So right now it's being revealed to his holy apostles and the prophets by the Holy Spirit. And so what has happened? He found someone who can sit in the presence of God and begin to seek God and allow God to. And so as he began to reveal to us, God said, I want my government back in the church. I want to reestablish that government which I prophesied about in the prophet Isaiah that he prophesied about. I want where the children of men can walk in peace, where nothing is missing and nothing is broken, where they can receive the things that Jesus provided for them on the cross. Let's go on and read. I'm reading through Corinthians chapter 2. It says, but as it is written, he said, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Reverend Dr. D. Montreal, minister of Masterpiece yesterday, and he said this whole book is a love manual. And so you go in there and you find out how much God loved us. And so he says, your eye can't see it. That's in the natural. Your ear can't hear it. That's in the natural. Even your natural heart can't understand the things that God has prepared for them that love him. That means that if I love him, and I know that he loved me, everything I needed, he has been provided for me. That's how much he loved me. And so when we go in a situation, when you get in life situations, it's not your life, because your life should be in Christ Jesus. But when we get in life situations, we should think about, always think about how much God had loved me and how much he had provided for me through his son Jesus. And then I can go in and receive that which he's provided for me. It says, but in verse 10, it said, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. God has revealed them. We're in the kingdom. He put his Spirit on the inside of us. And so now through his Spirit, connecting with our spirits, the spirit of man is the kennel of the Lord, and it searches all the inward parts of the belly. So he goes in from his Spirit, from the Holy Spirit, and he revealed himself to us through his Spirit. But we have to know what he said in his word, and we begin to reveal. So, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. And so that's why, again, in the Corinthians, when he tells us when we pray in this unknown language, he says we're not praying unto men, but we are praying unto God. And not only are we praying unto God, but we are praying mysteries. And so then God, as we pray these mysteries, God can begin to reveal these things that he has for us to our spirits. He began to tell us, he began to show us in our spirit these things that he's provided for us. Verse 11, he said, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? He said, even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. He goes on, that's the Holy Spirit. He said, now we have received not the spirit of the world. When we did not have received it, we received it after when we got born again. That new creation, if you be Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if we be Christ, then are we new creature. It's the old things have passed away. All things have become new. So what happened when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? A supernatural event took place. We was recreated. And when we was recreated, our human spirit was recreated, and it was created in the image of God. We received, took on his spirit on our inner man. That's what the kingdom, how the kingdom operates. It said, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely, freely given to us of God. Freely given to us. You know, and so we all we have to do is know those things. He said, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaching. Man's wisdom always teaches, well, you give me something, I'll give you something. You give me something, yes, a means of exchange. Always an exchange. God say, no, I don't have an exchange. I give it to you as a free gift. And the only thing you have to do is receive it. You don't have to give me anything for it. You just accept my son, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior. And then it's all provided for you in the kingdom. And so all you have to do is receive that. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And then verse 14, I've quoted it, but now you can see it with your own eyes. You can see it. You can go back and you can look at it. It said, but the natural man. That means that in the natural, he said, but the natural man, that's who we are. That's the thing that we know the most of. That's what we grew up in. That's how, you know, we grew up in the natural man. We didn't know anything about the spirit of God or the spiritual kingdom that we was in. And so we naturally, the natural man is going to have more pull on you and tell you what. Be not conformed to this world. Romans 12, 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might know what is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And so and once your mind is transformed and you've been renewed by the word of God, then you can know what he's already provided for you in his word. He said, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So what he's saying, he said, when he said, truth always overrides facts. Yeah. So, you know, so Abraham, for instance, a man who was over almost 100 years old, Sarah's womb was totally dead. And so that was a fact. That was an absolute fact. But God told him that he was going to have a child. He was going to have a kid. And so what did Abraham do? He got and he heard the word of God. He began to accept what God said over in Romans. You can go over in Genesis. You can see it in Romans chapter 4. And they say, finally, Abraham became fully persuaded. And so that was in the spirit. That's after he heard his thing. He said he became fully persuaded that what God had promised him, he was also able to perform. So he knew what his God. He knew his God. He knew what he could do. And so once he found out what he could do, it didn't happen overnight because, you know, from the time he got the promise, he was almost 14, 15 years. But eventually he got to the point that it said Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him as righteousness. And once it was counted to him as righteousness. Again, righteousness means that everything that God has spoken in his word or written in his word, I can receive it. It belongs to me. Let me read on through it. It says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discern. If you know, that was my biggest problem when I came into the kingdom. I got saved, and everything I would read the scripture, and I was trying to receive the scriptures in my head. And I always, you know, my question, how can this be? I was like Mary when she said she was going to have a baby. How can this be? But then it has to be revealed to your spirit. It said, but he that are spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judging no man, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. So now he can instruct us because we have his mind. We have his spirit. He's on the inside of us, but we also have the mind of Christ, and he can instruct us. I wanted to show you that in Romans so you can have that under your belt. You can go back and you can read over it, and then I'll give you some more pointers here out of this lesson here. And I want to just leave you saying he's been teaching. Turn to Romans chapter 4. As the Holy Spirit bring it up, I'll show it to you. And so you can always have something to lay your faith on. You say, I see it in the Word of God, and I've seen where God have done it before. And since he's done it before, you know, if you ever see where he's done it before, then he will do it again. And so, you know, he has no respect to person. If you have one, does it for one person, he'll do it for anyone who come to any of his children. He'll do the same thing for them. Here in Romans chapter 4, looking at verse 13, and this is what I was telling you about. He said, for the promise, Romans 4 and 17, he said, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. We'll get back into that further on down in the lesson when we get into the various covenants and the law that God has made with us, but I want to read through this now. He said, for if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. He said, because the law worketh wrath, for there where there is no law, there is no transgression. And then here it is again. You can hook Romans 4 and 16. You can hook it up again to Ephesians 2 and 8. There's that by faith again. There's that grace again. He said, therefore it is of faith, that it might be what? By grace. Might be by grace. Grace is a free gift. He goes on to say that to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So in the law, there was a performance that they had to do. In that performance, if they did not keep the law, if they kept the law, then they could receive the promises that God had provided for them. And so that was their own doing. Remember, in this grace covenant, in this new covenant, God says that the zeal of the Lord shall perform this. So God made a promise to Abraham. In Galatians, he said, if you be Christ, then are we Abraham's seeds and heir to the promises made for God. So same promise he made to Abraham, he made to us because we are in Christ Jesus. So if you want to find out what the promises, you can go back in Genesis, you can find out what promises he made to him. And the same promises that he made to Abraham belongs to me because I'm an heir. I'm a seed of Abraham. He goes on to say, not to only that which is the law, but to that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. He said, as it is written, he said, I made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. So what God did, he called Abraham. He said, you're going to be a father of many nations. Yeah, Abraham is over 100 years old. Over in his 80s, but God said he spoke it out of his mouth, and so you know Abraham was questioned. Sarah laughed when they told him that, but then you know God says he said even God who calls those things that be not as though they were, and he says he goes on again. He said who against hope believe in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. We're the seed of Abraham. And so the same thing that he promised Abraham. And then verse 19 says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. I told you that truth always overrides fact. This was a fact that Abraham was completely, I mean, there was no way at his age that he was supposed to be having children. Sarah's womb was dead from the beginning. It was totally dead. And so that was a fact that her womb was dead. But God came in, gave his word, which was truth, and it override any fact that was in her life. So the same thing in your body. If you go to a physician and he gives you a fact that you have cancer in your body or whatever disease that you can have, we can find the truth in the Word of God, and that truth will override that fact. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, a done deal, I am healed. I am healed. So that's the truth. I'm healed already. God has already provided that for me. So all I have to do is receive that which he provided. And so that truth that I have, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He reveals that truth to us. And when we get that truth, then it's any fact that the enemy tried to put on you, then you can override it with that truth. But let's read on through that. He says, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. See, this is a supernatural kingdom. Again, this is a sign. These are wonders, are miracles that's happening. You know who your God is, and you know what he's done before. In verse 20, it says, and he, Abraham, staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He was giving glory to God. He was strong in faith. So he had something to lay his foundation. He had something to lay his faith on. He had saw what God had did. He saw God, you know, when he told him to bring his son up to in that bush and to slay him. He saw him. He said, God will provide for me. So he gave him a ram in the thickets. And he gave, rather than killing his son, he gave him something. So he saw what God can do. And when that was a supernatural wonder. So when you see what God can do, you know who God is. And then you can have faith what he has provided for you. And he said, therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. See, Abraham was under the law, but he didn't at that time, because he did not have to follow the law. He did not have to perform to receive those things which God had provided for him. All he had to do is believe what God has said in his word. I got a meditation scripture for you for this week. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Some of us probably have heard it, but it's a good meditation scripture. Second Corinthians chapter 4, it says, are we having the same spirit of faith according as it is written? He said, I believe and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. And so what are you saying? That's that meditation again. That's finding out what God has said in his word. And when you believe what he said, you speak what God said in his word. And so he said, you know, Abraham said it was written that I should be a father of many nations. If you go back and look at that Romans 4, he said it was written that I should be the father of many nations. And so he believed that. And then he began to say that, I'm a father of many nations. I'm a father of many nations. And so then he said, even God who calls those things that be not as though they were. That's the way the kingdom operates. That's the way we operate. And that's why God tells us. He said we should take these scriptures and we should meditate in them. We should not let them depart out of our eyes, out of our mouth. But we should meditate in them day and night. And then we make our way prosperous. And then we have good success. And so when someone say, take these scriptures and meditate on them, well, guess what's happening? Your spirit is already recreated, but you're recreating your mind. You're putting in God's will into your mind and to your thinking process. And so now I can think like God. I can, speak his words, say his words, I have the same mind as Christ when these things happen. So again, 2 Corinthians 4 and 13, meditation scripture, we have in the same spirit of faith according as it's written, I believe and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore we speak. Meditation scripture. The body of Christ is being built up and equipped to become a glorious and victorious bride. A few notes after I've covered all my introduction here, I'll give you a few notes. No matter how the condition of the earth may presently appear, the church is to create global awakening and impact. Successive generations must be equipped to carry and demonstrate kingdom revelation. So as we are being, trained and we are being taught, we are to pass on to succeeding generations this revelation of the kingdom of God and what he have. Because when they come along, they're going to begin to see those signs and they're going to begin to see those wonders and the supernatural things that's happening in your life. And so you're going to be able to pass it on. I didn't do it. I found out that God himself is the one who did it. And so I tell them how great this God is. And that's how God set it up from all the way through. He always left a legacy through succeeding generations on what God has did. And so he wants us to do the same thing. And we the church should have a global impact. When people look at us, they should see us as a mighty force. And as our apostle has been ministering to us and telling us, we are becoming a church unusual. Church unusual. That's who we are. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We thank you, Father, as you've given us, we've given to your people, Father. And we thank you, Father, they are no longer just hearers, but they have become doers of what you tell us to do. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.